Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth, straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden, and I'm working at...
An Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents, for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Chuck and Julie Show. Happy Party Friday, Leo, and everybody else out there, too. Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden here at the Chuck and Julie Show. ChuckandJulie.com is the best place to get all of our podcasts. You can listen live there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So check that out if ever you want to find different links. The show is brought to you by AmericaCitizenPress.com and Denver Cinegenics and Dr. Julie McCallan. Speaking of Julie McCallan, she is up at the beautiful Dunafin Castle with Chuck right now. That's where he is. There is a fundraiser going on for the movement that Chuck and I call them their merry band of people started with grassroots Republicans here in Colorado to basically allow the Republican Party to take back the Republican Party, to opt out, to at least have a vote to opt out of the open primary. And I can explain all of that in a second. We're hoping to get Chuck here on the phone. It is the Dunafin Castle is in the mountains, but and also he's sort of the master of ceremonies. So we're going to be keeping touch, trying to get him there. Also, Laurel Eimer, who was up there, was going to call in to, again, the telecommunications kind of spotty, but I want to mention Laurel Eimer is having a fundraiser on Monday. So we're all about helping promote some of our favorite politicians. Tons of stuff to talk about. So feel free to call in 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. Or go ahead, you guys on Zoom, always have your own Chuck and Julie sideshow here in the chat section, but go ahead and fill in the chat section. We can talk about that. Let me give you a little bit of background on this fundraiser, because although the big event there is, you know, for people who are donating there, I think on Monday we're going to have a link that other people can donate to also. And let me explain. I know we've talked about it before, but just exactly why this is so important. So in 2016, Colorado voters were basically tricked by the Democrats and establishment Republicans, I'm just going to say it, and they voted to have the primaries in Colorado open to unaffiliated voters. Before that, back when the Republicans actually won elections in Colorado, you had to be a registered Republican to vote in the Republican primary or a registered Democrat to vote in the Democrat primary. I think the theory being, which I agree with, that if you don't even care enough about politics to affiliate with a party, why should you be able to go ahead and vote in the primary? Okay, they're trying Chuck now. So thank you, TJ. Just let me know when you get him. But the voters thought, and they were fooled by the Democrats. I mean, there's a reason Democrats pushed this, that if they did that, well, then all these unaffiliated voters, they should be able to vote. It's voter suppression to not let them vote. Again, reminding you, they're not being suppressed. All they would have to do is affiliate. I've used the example. It'd be like allowing people who didn't live in your HOA to vote on your HOA rules, right? It's if they care, I mean, they shouldn't be able to. If they're not even part of the organization, they shouldn't be able to select your candidates. And they can vote in the general election for whoever they want at that point. But being tricked by the Democrats, Republicans and other Coloradans voted to have an open primary. So as long as you're registered to vote, you can vote in whatever primary you want, although you can only vote in one of the primaries. It's one of those things that sounded kind of good. I mean, you know, maybe people didn't have that much of an objection to it. But in practice, what it has turned into, the practical result has been essentially significant Democrat meddling, interference, call it what you want, in Republican primaries. What's happened is, and the Democrats make no bones about this, they're right up front about it. You have certain precincts, for instance, in Colorado, for Senate and House districts, right, for the state legislature, and even, for instance, Lauren Boebert's district, the El Paso County Congressional District, that are pretty safe Republican seats. It'd be very difficult for a Democrat to get elected, and the Democrats know that. So with this open primary, what they have started doing is essentially using millions of dollars to fund I call them fake Republicans. These are people who are not really Republicans, right? These are people who, when you look at how they vote the Democrat ticket. Some of them were even Democrats before and just changed their affiliation so they can run in the primary. Ted Trimpa, our Democrat strategist friend, has flat out said, I mean, he tells us straight out, that's a strategy that they use. And he helps coordinate with Catherine Murdoch, a very liberal millionaire, right, who pours millions of dollars into Colorado races in Republican, even though she's not a Republican and hates Republican, she funds fake Republican candidates in Republican primaries to make sure that the conservative grassroots Republican doesn't get elected. The Aspen Times, I mean, they did that effectively in some races in Weld County and in Colorado in 2020. They're pushing even harder in 2022. An Aspen newspaper is already calling on Democrats to become unaffiliated voters and to vote in the Republican primary to try to get rid of Lauren Boebert. If they spend a ton of money on that, if you have enough Democrats and with ballot harvesting, if they all become unaffiliated, and then they vote for whatever the fake Republican candidate is running against Lauren Boebert, then they can get rid of Lauren Boebert. And then they put in somebody who is essentially going to vote along with the Democrats. An Aspen newspaper is openly calling on the Democrats to do that. And then they say, all you have to do is go back and change your affiliation to Democrat for the general election. So they are admitting this is what they're doing. So Chuck and this group of people said, you know what? This is wrong. I mean, we're basically screwing ourselves. Why are we doing this? Part of the problem is the way the law works is that the central committee of each party, which is roughly 500 people. So the central committee of the Republican Party can vote to opt out of this if they want and can vote to go back to having a Republican primary requiring you to be a Republican to vote in it, okay? But what the law did, again, they were tricky. They said you can't just have a majority, okay? You can't just have, 51%. You have to have I call it a super duper 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 majority. It has to be something ridiculous like 75% of the people there have to vote to opt out. And you have to be present to vote. And if you're not present, you're automatically counted as a no vote. Now, that has been ruled, that provision exists in other states and other issues, right? And it has been determined to be unconstitutional by the courts because it's an unreasonable, impossible majority to reach, right? It should be brought down. So what the lawsuit they are launching would ask the court in Colorado to rule what other courts in other states have ruled. And that is that you don't have to have that high of a majority. You can have a smaller reachable majority. So you wouldn't automatically opt out, but what the lawsuit would do would be allow Republicans to have essentially a legitimate vote of the members of the Central Committee to see if they want to opt out or not. Now, the establishment Republicans like Christy Burton Brown, the chairperson of the Republican Party, although she says, in emails that she's neutral on this, certainly is not. She's worked hard behind the scenes, continues to work hard behind the scenes to stop this. Why, you ask yourself, and the Democrats, I mean, we've been attacked again repeatedly by progressive websites for pushing this. You got to ask yourself, why does the establishment and why do the Democrats want to prevent Colorado Republicans from opting out of the Republican primary? The answer is because it benefits them. We do have Chuck now. Hey, Chuck, thank you for trying. I know you're in the mountains and it makes it kind of tricky. How's it going up there?
Well, they're pouring in. It's the snowstorm of the century up here, but we're still getting tons of people. So it's great. It's great.
I was just kind of running through. Why did you run through? Because I know, there's so much to talk about here and the winning caucus and all of that. But essentially, what's going to be happening there? Who's there and what are they going to be talking about?
Well, some of the great candidates that are running for offices that are true America First principle people like Greg Lopez, Laurel Eimer, Patrick Neville, Dave Williams, Lori Sane, they're all here. And then huge group of donors who want to give not to rhinos. They don't want to give to swinos. They want to give to real people. And they want to, in this case, give to our lawsuit, which is going to be filed next week, which will ask that the unconstitutional provision that we have to have unaffiliated and everyone else in our primaries, so we only get rhinos, is thrown out. And John Eastman's here. Hopefully I can bring him up here and he can talk for a second on the air.
Sure, if you want.
Yeah, if you want to contribute, it's CCJ litigation, ccjlitigation.com.
Okay. Oh, .com. Okay. I thought it was .org. Okay. Yeah. And Leo has a question. And Leo, I'll get to your question here in a second. Is John there? Do you want to push him on, put him on, or is he busy?
Because you wouldn't be able to hear, but I'll put the phone down, but don't hang up on me and I'll get John.
Okay. All right. John's going to, hopefully nothing bad will happen. So Leo, you say, why are these things fundraisers? No town hall meeting that we can express our views and here's theirs without spending hundreds of dollars. That's a good question. And I think what Chuck and those in the group did was travel around the state earlier this year to go to town halls, and they went to organizations to have people express their views. And the views that they heard people say is, yeah, why are we doing this? Why do we want to opt out? I mean, why do we want to have Democrats be voting in our primaries? And we should at least be able to, you know, if we want to vote, we shouldn't have this unconstitutionally high standard that we have to meet. John, are you there? I heard the phone move. No. Okay. And so that's why. And the reason it's a fundraiser, frankly, is because the lawsuit takes money. We need to file a lawsuit, and John will explain why, but the lawsuit is step one in taking back the Republican primaries. This was debated in 2016 when people voted on it. And again, I think people were, we should, anytime, guys, the Democrats propose something, just vote no, right? Just vote no. It's like when you're walking with your kid in the grocery store and they're like, can I have this? Can I have this? I don't know how many moms are out there, but I would just say no, 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 right? Because you know, if your kid's grabbing something off the shelves, the answer is probably no. And it, because it was a kind of thing, Leo, that sounded like it was going to be a good idea, but turned out to be, as we've said, a horrible idea that allows Democrats to meddle. That's the word I would use. Maybe interfere if you want. Rig is another word you could use in Republican primaries. Jacob points out, yeah, this is how you end up with the President Biden. How's that working out? Exactly. Leo says, well, if I can't hear the details of the lawsuit, like paying, that's like Pelosi saying we would have to pass the bill before you could read it. Well, yeah, but I think I just explained the details of the lawsuit. And once a lawsuit's filed, we'll certainly put it up and we can talk about it then. But that's essentially the gist of the lawsuit. And, you know, once it's filed, I don't want to, how do I say it? I don't want to talk too much about the actual details of it, because I'm not the lawyer and John Eastman is. But once it's filed next week, we'll put it up all over the place and we'll talk about it plenty. And yeah, people can decide whether they want it or not. And again, keep in mind that this would not automatically force the opt-out. All the lawsuit would do would open the way for the Republicans to be able to actually vote on whether they wanted to do it. And I hear it. John, are you, is there somebody on the, John, are you there with us, John Eastman? No? Okay. I'm not sure. So this is also from Jacob, or from Jim rather, that the Republicans can't suck it up and get that supermajority is a very telling discredit to the party. No, Jim, not really. I mean, I want to explain that. Maybe I didn't explain that clearly either. It's not just a majority, it's a super majority. And what it also says is that if you're not present, your vote is a no vote. And for these kind of things with 500 people, they couldn't logistically, traditionally it's shown, you can't get that many people. It's not like all 500 people ever show up to vote. So anyone who doesn't show up to vote is a no, right? And so it's
been,
oh, hey, John,
Julie.
John Eastman, yeah.
John Eastman, we got Laurel Eimer too, so we got two for one. So I'll give you first to John Eastman.
Okay. Hey, John. John Eastman with the Claremont Institute, President Trump's former attorney. Hey, John, thank you for your time. I take it you made it up there safely in the snowstorm. How are things going?
Safely up. Downhill is going to be a little more question the way it's coming down.
Hey, let me ask you this.
But the owner of the place already told us we could all camp out over the weekend.
So. Oh, there you go. They put out a good spread there, so that's not a bad idea. Can you explain to folks with the lawsuit, you know, in general, what would it do and why it's necessary?
So the lawsuit is to challenge Proposition 108, which created an open primary. And what that means is it allows unaffiliated voters to help determine who the Republican Party's nominee is going to be. That's a fundamental violation of the Republican voters' freedom of association protected by the First Amendment of the United States Constitution. The second thing it does is whoever wins that primary, even if they've won on the back of unaffiliated voters, that person gets designated as the Republican nominee espousing positions in the general election that may be antithetical to the views of the Republican Party. That's a violation of the free speech rights of the Republican Party and its members. And then we've got a third count in the lawsuit challenging the opt-out provision that, you know, was their attempt to salvage against the blatant unconstitutionality of the open primary. Well, that you don't have to do it. You can opt out whenever you want. But they set a threshold so high as to be impossible to meet. But that's a violation of the freedom of association right of an association to determine how to conduct its own affairs. Even if the opt-out vote was achieved, the options are too limited. Either a caucus or a convention, they don't get the right to have a closed primary or a primary only of their own members to decide who their own nominee is going to be. And so that violates freedom of association rights as well. And then the last two counts are from the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause. If I've got 100 people voting in a caucus and then another 50 people weigh in that are unaffiliated, that dilutes the strength of my vote. That's an equal protection violation under the 14th Amendment. And then the last count in the lawsuit, minor parties are allowed to have closed primaries. They can choose not to let unaffiliated voters vote in their own primary. Major parties can't. And because we're dealing with the fundamental right of voting here, that's a violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment as well.
All right.
Now, what's really going on is the open primary is designed by the establishment types in the upper echelons of the Republican Party who don't like upstarts challenging the status quo. And for anybody that wants to break through the status quo and really shake things up a little bit and reclaim the notion that it's we the people that are the sovereign authority in this country needs to be opposed to these open primaries because it was a tool designed to prevent vocal constitutionalist candidates from winning primaries.
Well, and on top of that, too, so you've got that. I absolutely agree. It's a way to, the establishment Republicans to keep control. And also, I've been talking about it's a way for the Democrats to essentially meddle in the elections. We had one of the Aspen newspapers was basically, because they hate Lauren Boebert, right, was telling Democrats, it wrote an editorial telling Democrats to become unaffiliated, vote in the Republican primary to get rid of Lauren Boebert, and then go back to being Democrat. I mean, that's just crazy that that's happening.
It was lovely that it happened last weekend when I was writing the complaint. We made it Exhibit A in the complaint.
All right, there you go. Well, John, just one more question for you, because I know everybody about the fundraiser wants to meet you. It seems to me that can you talk about the likelihood of success? And then maybe what's the process going forward?
So the process going forward, we're too late to be able to get a preliminary injunction to affect the 2022 elections. There's a doctrine called the Purcell Doctrine that you're not supposed to be allowing litigation over election rules to be brought on the eve of election season. So we're looking at 2024. And I if I do say so myself, I think the complaint is rock solid. I was involved in this issue 20 years ago when the Supreme Court first held that open primaries were a violation of the Constitution. That case was California Democratic Party versus Jones out in California. And I was involved in that litigation. There are some slight differences between Colorado statute and that one, but I don't think those differences matter. So I remain 98% optimistic that we prevail in this suit.
All right.
There'll be efforts to prevent us from even bringing the case. We'll have to brief that and get over that jurisdictional challenge, and then we'll tee up the merits. And I think we win. And if we don't, we go to the 10th Circuit, where we should win. And if we don't, we go to the Supreme Court, where I can count 6 or 7 votes on my side.
Perfect. All right, John. Hey, listen, thank you so much. Thank you for all that you do and all that you put up with doing this. I know you could take the easy way out, and we are just so grateful to have you on our side. So thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Julie, next we have Laurel Armour, the tremendous candidate from CD7. Everybody's trying to be Johnny Come Latelys and get into CD7, but this is a woman there for 2 years supporting all of us.
All right. Hey, Laurel, are you there?
I am. How are you, Julie?
We're good. We're good. Thank you for your time. I know you're up there. So, Laurel Armour, CD7. First, let me ask you, why are... Oh, we got you on Zoom, too. That's great. Hey, TJ, if you want to bring Laura up there, she's on Zoom. Why don't you explain to people why this is important, particularly for candidates like you?
The most important thing is that exactly what we're seeing, we got all these candidates coming in late to this process because they think that they can manipulate or buy their way into this election by going through the petition process and not through the assembly process. So this affects directly candidates like myself. Our Republican platform is the most important thing that we have. And if we can't stand for that, and we can't stand before the body of our Republican electorate and this group of people who've chosen to be involved and chosen to use their voice to choose the candidate they believe best represents them and their values on the ballot going into November, then what is the purpose of an election?
Exactly.
And so it's the most important thing that we can do.
And I know we're getting a little bit of feedback there, so I'll keep this quick. I also wanted to give you a chance. You have a fundraiser, an event coming up too on Monday. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, so on Monday, President's Day, February 21st, we are having a congressional dinner fundraiser at Pietra's in Wheat Ridge. And we are going to have the amazing Dr. Kelly Ward. She is the Arizona GOP chairwoman, who I am honored to have received her endorsement for my candidacy and my campaign. She trusted me to represent the America First message and to fight for election integrity for America as your representative in the 7th District. And so we will be having an event that night. It will be a dinner and some mingling and a wonderful time. And it's a fundraiser to help continue to bring in very much needed money in the campaign so we can continue to fight and fight this establishment global entities that are coming after me with everything they've got. We've got to stand for the grassroots. This is the time. We have the momentum. We have a moment to seize in this 2022 red wave. And so if you're a grassroots activist and you're a supporter of the grassroots, this is your time. You must step up. You must support candidates like myself and others that are grassroots candidates. Support us across the board. We need your help. We need your volunteerism. We need your donations. And we need you to become delegates, attend your caucus, and pledge yourself to vote for me at the Congressional District Assembly to get me on the ballot so that I can win the primary and be the only one who can beat the Democratic challenger in November.
All right. Laura, listen, I know you got to get out there to the event. So thank you for your time. We appreciate it. All right. We'll talk to you again later soon.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. There. Hey, Chuck, are you here? Are you there or did you go?
I'm still here, but I'm about to go. I'm supposed to be checking everybody in. I've missed everybody, so.
that's one way to avoid responsibility here.
That's right. I always figuring some way to stop from having to do any work. Okay.
All right. We'll let you go. Good luck up there. Thank you, Chuck. Thank you, Chuck. Okay. This from Charlene, perfect timing for the Aspen newspaper to brag about Democrats crossing over to vote for ours in the Republican primary. It really was, Charlene. John Eastman said it's, you know, exhibit A, number one in the lawsuit. And we'll be talking more about the lawsuit because I also want to let you know, I don't know that Chuck would say this, but I can say this. So when they had the Central Party, Republican Party meeting, right? As I said, Christy Burton Brown says she's officially, the establishment Republicans say they're officially neutral on this, but they don't want anybody upsetting their consultant donor class gravy train. So they're actually not really for it, right? And so they said, okay, you guys can have your pesky little vote. They had the vote. They voted unanimously to say it's a good idea to go ahead with the lawsuit. But then privately are like, hey, we aren't giving you guys any money, the Republican Party. We're not giving you any support. And they walked away saying, ha, 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 we show those pesky little grassroots people, you know, we just outsmarted them. And then Chuck and the group of people who are up there at this event tonight, Peg Cage, Ben Nicholas, and Neil Mathai, Jimmy Mack, Joe, all of these people who traveled the state, support from Dave Williams, Laurel Eimer, Greg Lopez, Lori Sane, Patrick Neville, they said, oh yeah, well, that's just what we can do. They said, you don't want to help us out? Then we will do it ourselves. And that's the best way, right? They said, okay, we got it. You're not going to give us any money, Colorado Republican Party. So fine, we don't need you. We're going to hold our own fundraising events. And like I said, they've been able to raise enough money to pay for the Claremont Institute already to go ahead and file the lawsuit. And so I understand, you know, guys like Leo and some of the people who are listening, I understand if you want to know more about it before you actually contribute any amount of money, and that's totally fine. Once the lawsuit's filed, we'll put all of that information up and you can decide. But I personally I'm just really proud of Chuck and those guys, because so many people are like, well, I guess that's it. Christy Burton Brown said she won't pay for it. And Chuck and those guys said, are you kidding? So what? We don't need them. We're going to do it ourselves. The grassroots group that put this together, that understands what's at stake here, we're going to do it ourselves and see how it goes. So let's see. Oh, this is from Steve. KBB is VBFF, so it's Peter Boyle's, isn't she? Yes, that's true. She is. She won't touch the big lie, as Peter Boyle's calls it. Yeah, and here's the thing. This isn't even the big lie. This is simply about requiring you to be a Republican before you can vote in the Republican primary. That's all that this is about. And if somebody wants to vote in the Republican primary, they can become a Republican. It's like... They make it sound as if it's this convoluted extremist idea. Guys, it's what we did in Colorado up until 2016, right? It was the law up until 2016. And like I'm saying, that was when Republicans won every so often. So that's what that is. Any more questions or comments on that, feel free to make them. I was going to talk about something else that was riling me up today too. Let me see if you have any other comments. Okay. Something else that was riling me up, sort of election elected. And then I also want to get into somehow the COVID narrative falling apart in the Democrats and the trucker convoy. But you may have been reading a lot in the newspaper and Channel 9 and all the nanny state places about Mesa County Clerk and Recorder Tina Peter getting arrested and obstructing justice and all of this stuff. And I wanted to, once again, set the record straight on that. Remember, when you read the stories about it, it makes it sound as if Tina Peters is like this horrible extremist who QAnon supporter, for God's sakes, who, you know, violated election laws, and Jenna Griswold, the progressive liberal secretary of state, is prohibiting her from participating in elections and is investigating her, blah, 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 blah. What Tina Peters did was back up the 2020 election files in Mesa County as the duly elected clerk and recorder before Jenna Griswold could send her, I'm going to use the word goons, in to look at them and delete it. That's all. That's all she did. She backed up the records. She didn't, which her position is that as a clerk and recorder, she has the right to do that. You would think that that would be a good idea. Why is Jenna Griswold investigating Tina Peters for backing up the 2020 election results? Okay. As part of that, they also, filed a criminal case against somebody in Tina Peters' office who went into the office and I think got some passwords or something like that, right? They call it burglary. Really? So this latest thing that they're charging her with, obstruction, trying to influence a public thing. I mean, and they arrested her for it. Well, first they detained her, then they let her go, and then they later arrested her. What they said she did, and if you watch Channel 9 and you read the Colorado Sun, Colorado Politics, you think, oh my God, Denver Post, you think, oh my God, that Tina Peters is out of control. What's she doing, you know, up there in Mesa County? What she did was she was at the court hearing. And she allegedly, according to the prosecutors, had her iPad on record and was recording the court proceeding. So let me back up and make this clear. This is a public court, so anyone could go in. It wasn't a closed court. It was probably actually anymore. They put everything up on WebEx, so you could actually go on your own computer and see it. So this was a public hearing, okay? She allegedly was using her iPad to record the public hearing, okay? Now, I was a reporter for more than 30 years. I covered probably literally thousands of court hearings. In Colorado, in order to record a hearing, you have to file what they call an expanded media motion request. Okay. So you have to have the court explicitly say you can record it. I think that that's gotten a little bit confusing, particularly in these COVID days where so many of the court cases are broadcast out over the internet anyway. So it kind of makes the whole point of recording it, not recording it, somewhat moot, like the Kyle Rittenhouse trial, right? I mean, it's going out all over the place. Remember, they tried to close it down. So there's that. But I can tell you this, in the thousands of court cases that I covered, it wasn't common, but it wasn't unheard of for somebody who was unfamiliar with the court rules to end up incidentally, or I don't want to say accidentally, but recording the court proceeding unaware that they weren't supposed to. Okay. It's not like your average person. I mean, people record everything all the time, everywhere. Anyway, I don't think your average person is aware, particularly again, in this day and age, that you have to have specific permission to do that. We don't even know that Tina Peters did it. It's just a prosecutor saying. I remember a time, it was like in the mid-2000s, where John Hickenlooper, our esteemed Democrat senator, his now ex-wife, Helen Thorpe, was covering, she was writing a book, okay? So she wasn't even a reporter. She was covering a hearing in which a guy, an illegal alien who worked at Hickenlooper's restaurant, who then was later convicted of shooting and killing a Denver cop, it was that hearing. So it's not even a hearing like she had no personal interest in, but she was recording that hearing, okay? And it, during a break, I think the people of the courthouse guys didn't know who she was. They didn't recognize her. But during the break, one of the persons, one of the bailiffs or one of the sheriff's deputies told the judge that somebody was recording the hearing. And the judge said, hey, I understand somebody was recording the hearing. Who was it? Now, she didn't stand up. She didn't acknowledge it. She didn't say, oh, that was me. And then the sheriff's deputy pointed her out and she stood up and she said, oh, yeah, that was me. I'm sorry, I didn't know. The judge admonished her and everyone went on. I've seen that happen before where people are taping it. The bailiff notes or one of the deputies notes that during a break, the judge says, hey, so-and-so, you were recording it. You can't do that. If you do it again, we're going to throw you out of the court. They don't confiscate your phone. They don't call for a search warrant and they certainly don't arrest you. Okay. And yet that's what they did with Tina Peters. She wasn't doing anything in that courtroom that hasn't happened many times before in Colorado that I have personally witnessed. No one gets arrested. Sometimes even I've seen, there was one case where it was a national interest case here in Colorado and Yahoo News, I think it was Yahoo News. Sorry if I'm slandering you. Yahoo News was there and they knowingly recorded stuff they shouldn't be recording. And the judge really yelled at them. But that no one was arrested. There were no search warrants executed. The judge just says, you can't do that, right? This is not, and it's a public hearing. So once again, it wasn't some secret hearing that she was going to have secret access to. She could have gotten the transcripts. We don't know that she did it. But again, I'm just saying, don't believe any of the garbage that they tell you. I was watching Kyle Clark. They're tweeting, oh my God, this is terrible. This is terrible. You know, and then she kicked a police officer, et cetera, et cetera. And why they arrested her, they detained her. They detained her, in my opinion, completely without any, they didn't have an arrest warrant at that time. They just had a warrant for an iPad. Okay. And why they did that, I don't know. Why the judge couldn't simply have done what every other judge does in that instance is say, hey, if you're recording that, you can't record that, okay? And then move on. But nope, in Tina Peters' case, because she is challenging the status quo, whatever you think she may have done or didn't do, or you think of that, the way they're treating her is appalling and it's unfair. And they're not kidding when they say, if you stand up against the government line, you are a domestic terrorist and we are going to throw everything we can at you. And I think it just needs to be said because none of the establishment media is talking about that. Okay. And this is, let's see. This is from Charlene. Tina Peters is a 2018 leadership program of the Rockies graduate, Gold Star mom, plus duly elected Mesa County official. Griswold is scared, sending out her goon squad. They're inventing a crime to intimidate Tina Peters. Exactly right, Charlene. This is something that numerous people have done in court, including Hickenlooper's ex-wife, and nobody got arrested. Nobody had their phone seized or searched. Charlene is, or this is from Steve. Char, that's what I've been trying to figure out. What laws did she break? Now, according to her, on the whole election issue, none. According to her, as the duly elected clerk and recorder, she had not only the right to, but the duty to back things up. And on top of that, in the court thing, yeah, you know, I'm not even sure that that's a law, right? That's just simply, maybe it is, but in court. But if it is, it's something I've never seen anyone else prosecuted for or attacked. And I see, is somebody there have their hand up in the Zoom meeting? Has somebody got their hand up there? Do you mind if you do you want to talk or are you just saying hi? If you do, just unmute yourself. Okay, I can't tell. This from Charlene. She's the most ethical person you'll ever meet. That's why they have to shut her up. Exactly. Jenna Griswold is a Colorado Emerge graduate. That makes me suspicious of her from the start. That's true. Well, then they're doing the same thing in El Paso County, right? The El Paso County clerk, they've opened an investigation into the El Paso County clerk because that clerk did the same thing. That clerk is also made a copy of the 2020 election. So, okay, oh, it's Johnny Johnson. Johnny Johnson, you got your hand raised there. You want to comment? There
yes.
you go.
Okay. Yeah. I see how the news media is flipping the story about Tina saying that she kicked back at the cop, and if it would have been like this Elijah or whatever, she would have been put in the chokehold. And this it seemed like it's a total twist to really try to smudge her. And how are they getting away with
yeah.
this? And is it, I mean, I know through you, we're getting out the real message, but how do we combat that when they're putting out fake narrative and we have the real narrative?
You know, that's why they do it. And you're absolutely right. That is the bazillion dollar question, right? And I think my answer would be, I just do the best I can. And we do the best we can to keep putting that out there. And to maybe try to convince people that, look, if you're going to read the Denver Post, if you're going to listen to Channel 9, do it with a grain of salt. You know, if you're listening to me, do it with a grain of salt, right? At least Chuck and I, we're open about where we're coming from on this, right? We don't pretend that we're objective and we're neutral. We tell you where we're coming from. I really have a problem with these organizations, sort of the corporate media that say, oh, well, we're objective when they're anything but. But, you know, I think in this day and age, though, Johnny, it's up to all of us to just be aware that if we're going to be informed, we're going to probably have to put a little bit more work into it than maybe we did before. And then when somebody talks about it, to go ahead and push back, right? To go ahead and when Kyle Clark tweets stuff, although you don't want to get in a Twitter war with Kyle Clark, yeah. but to just be aware, right, that there is always another side to the story, and that particularly in this Tina Peters case, they're twisting it. I mean, I couldn't believe when I saw they were issuing a search warrant for her iPad and then an arrest warrant for they were going to arrest her. It's like I said, I saw that many times in court, and always the judge just said, hey, knock it off. You can't do that. If you do it again, we'll kick you out of the courtroom. So,
and one last question. Sure. I wanted to be a part of my caucus, but I didn't want to, I guess, wait until the last minute, because the last time I did, they gave me a list of 100 people that should have been at the meeting. Absolutely. So I've been trying for the last 7 days to find out who is running the caucus on West High School. And I've been getting the runaround by Priscilla. Even though she called me back, I tried to call her back several times. So I'm not sure who to contact to find out.
Let me see what we can do. What is it that you want to know?
I just want to know who to contact so I can get that list of 100 people before the meeting, not the day of the meeting, like I got in 2018.
So you can encourage them to go, you mean?
Yeah, I can make the phone call. I can make 100
sure.
phone calls.
Oh, wow. Huh. Well, you know, keep in mind, number one, that Christy Burton Brown and the establishment Republicans don't like the caucus system, because that's, again, where us pesky grassroots people vote for the grassroots candidates. They would rather just tell us who to vote for. Let me see what I can do, because we can contact Priscilla Rahm, and I'll make a note, and maybe on the show, or if you want to pop me an email or something like that, I can find out, because somebody knows. Somebody knows. Yeah. I would maybe the Denver. Have you looked at the Denver Republican Party website? They might, their chairperson might know.
Okay, so it's called the Denver.
Yep. Each county has its own Republican Party chairperson.
So DenverGOP.org.
Something. I think if you just Google Denver Republican Party, it should come up.
Okay. I could try that, because it's like, this is ridiculous. 7 days and trying to get this simple
right.
information.
All right, cool. All right. Hey,
okay,
listen,
thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for weighing in.
Right.
I appreciate it.
All right.
All right, let's see. Okay, then that's go through some of the comments. What was there in the backup? This is from Jacob. What was there in the backup that Jenna Griswold does not want made public? Exactly. And Charlene, the goons don't want any backup evidence. Exactly. This is from Stephen. Jacob, my guess is Tina Peters made backups of the system administration logs that could show Dominion being in the voting system and possibly making changes. And I don't know about that. All I know is, to me, you would think that you would automatically back up the system. And then Leo says, listen to Channel 9, throw the salt over your shoulder and open a bottle of Jack. Agree with you there. And then this from Stephen. Randy Corcoran had John Fund on about election integrity. I texted the studio and asked him to ask his guest how a company with a headquarters in a foreign country can participate in U.S. elections. Billy replied that Dominion is headquartered in Denver. I texted back that it had headquarters in Canada and software, et cetera, crickets. Yeah, I'm not, I believe that, you know, corporations do funny things. I believe that they do have a headquarters in Denver and they operate all over the country. But it seems to me the bottom line thing is, what's the problem with backing up an election, right? Why would you not want to back up an election? Question number two is, why would you not want to do an audit of the election? The Democrats and Jenna Griswold specifically said, no audit. We're not doing any audit. Why not? If there are questions, why not do an audit and prove us wrong, right? Say, look, you little conspiracy theorist nuts, there's nothing to be worried about here. So, because, you know, hey, look, they were telling us the truth about COVID, weren't they? Not. And on that note, because it's Party Friday, I want to show you something, switching gears here a little bit again. I don't know if you guys saw on Twitter, in a lot of schools, my son's school, for instance, the mask mandate is gone this week. Jefferson County, which was initially going to extend their mask mandate to the 18th, then made their health director resign. And now they said today is the last day that the kids in Jefferson County have to wear masks, or anyone in Jefferson County. But I want to play, Thomas, if you can get ready, a video. This is what happened when a teacher told some elementary school kids in Las Vegas that the mask mandate was gone. Thomas, if we could play the Las Vegas kids video.
Starting tomorrow, we don't have to wear masks anymore.
For those of you who are just listening on the podcast, what you saw there was a bunch of, I don't know, kindergartners, first graders, second graders, jumping up and down, pulling their masks down, just thrilled. You know, I got to say, almost in a way that almost brings tears to my eyes when you think of what we've done to our kids. We tried not to, I mean, but what this nation has done to our kids. And when you get stupid people like the poisonous Jen Psaki telling you that kids adjust and that kids don't care, you BS on that. And we all know that, right? Look at those kids there, these kids that were silently, frankly, abused by adults, progressive Democrat adults pushing their sick agenda, abusing kids, and then saying, hey, no, they don't care. They don't care. Well, take a look at that videotape. I can tell you at my son's school, same thing. He said the kids are thrilled. And I bet you in Jefferson County, they're thrilled. The one, I think Boulder is holding out here. Hopefully they'll come along too, because what's been done to our kids in the name of science is just completely wrong in this country. And again, videotapes, they're all out there, right? And then Leo's like, yeah, everybody that teacher. Michelle Malkin, this from Steven, says masks are mind control. I mean, Charlene says that video brought tears to my eyes. I mean, mine too, Charlene, because you know what? You know, you look at kids and we send them to school and they're just kids, right? They look to us to protect them. And so when we say, well, you have to wear a mask, I mean, particularly little kindergartners, they're not going to, for the most part, say, well, I don't want to wear a mask, right? They're not going to protest. They don't know how, because they depend on us to take care of them. And I know we got a mask exemption for medical reasons, and I feel really good about that, but it took us a year, right? Look at it, it's just tragic what has happened. And you read the ongoing stories about how tough it is on the kids. And, you know, again, anybody who, some twisted, sick Democrat who tries to tell you that the kids don't mind wearing masks, it's like, yeah, just take a look at the video. Just go talk to the kids. And then you come tell me that they don't care. And because it's also Party Friday, Yeah, Stephen, money, control, and power. That's what the whole COVID deal is about. Exactly. And from Jacob, this is really true. The New York Times had an editorial about the blue states giving up on masks because of the polling data. Exactly. It's not science, it's polling. But you know what? God bless the truckers in Canada, right about that. I was reading, some guy said, you know, guys like this, who basically, these are people who just want to be left alone and do their job and live their lives. They don't want to be pushed. And this shows when you push people who just want to be left alone, when you push them so far and they push back, they push back. And they're not just doing it because they're being paid by some liberal organization to be out there, right? These guys are doing it because it matters to them. And I want to play a quick Tucker Carlson soundbite because I think, you know, he hit it on the head again last night. And he's talking about how the trucker convoys, you know, they're blocking the bridges, they're blocking trade. Car dealer or car factories have had to slow down because of it. I mean, when you mess with the people who actually make the country run and they say, okay, we're gonna do a little sit down here. Things happen, and the elites don't necessarily like it. So, if we could play, please, the Tucker video.
Protest is less than a week old, and already it is causing deep pain to at least one global industry. It's hard to overstate the historical significance of what we're watching right here. The Canadian trucker convoy is the single most successful human rights protest in a generation. If nothing else, it has been a very useful reminder to our entitled ruling class that working class men can be pushed, but only so far. When they push back, it hurts. It turns out that truck drivers are more important to a country's future than, say, diversity consultants or even MSNBC contributors. Who knew?
And so we'll see. Go ahead. And if we got a few minutes, you can call in if you want, 888-627-6008, or raise your hand if you're on Zoom, or go ahead in the comment section. How do you see this is going to end? Chuck's not here, so I can say, because he and I disagree with this. I'll tell you, he thinks that Trudeau is going to crush the truckers. I don't. I think Trudeau and his little elite arrogance and his wavy hair has backed himself into a corner by refusing to meet with the truckers. Because again, these are not people that BLM, funded by progressive donors, has shipped in who want to hurry up and get back to their Chardonnays and their lattes, right? These are people who are doing this, these truckers, and the people who have shown up to support them because of the principle, because it matters. When you look at it, most of the truckers are at, 85-90% are actually vaccinated, right? They're not doing it because they don't want to get vaccinated. They're doing it to stand up for the freedom of choice. And they're saying, and by the way, this vaccine mandate that they're protesting about is relatively new, right? From the beginning, the truckers were considered essential workers. So they've been going back and forth. Anyway, this is just the government trying to put a heavy-handed fist, hammer, anvil, whatever you want to call it, down on working class people, while the elites, meanwhile, get to go to the Oscars, they get to go to Miami, they get to do whatever they want and not wear masks or not have to follow the mandates. And I think that Trudeau is going to lose. You've already got the provinces all around him saying, okay, we're lifting our mandates. The Ontario mayor said, not Ontario, the province guy there said today that, yeah, he was soon going to get rid of all the mandates. But in the meantime, though, he was going to do everything he could to stop the truckers. I just, you know, maybe Canada's going to go ahead and let like the Rural Mounted Force open fire on the truckers. I just don't see that happening. And I think what Trudeau should do, if he's smart, which he clearly isn't, is go ahead and say, okay, I'll meet with them. Because these truckers, they're saying, we're not giving up. We didn't come this far just to turn around and say, oh, okay. This is from Leo. I think Trudeau has will do a Biden and plop the authority to the provinces to let them open stuff up without looking like it's caving in. Yeah, that's a very good point, Leo. I bet you could be right on that because he's got to find a way to save face to get out of this, right? And the truckers aren't backing down. They're not going to go away. And in the meantime, like Tucker Carlson pointed out, when you push the people who actually make this country run, when you clobber down on them and you start taking away their freedoms and their rights, they'll go along for a while to be nice, but you push so far and then they say no more. And they aren't kidding. You know, like I said, they're not some paid BLM activist who then goes home and doesn't really care and isn't going to protest if it's very cold outside. You watch these guys, it looks really cold up there, right? And all these people, you see the great video where they say, oh, it's illegal to give them gasoline. And instead you see hundreds of Canadians carrying gas tanks in. they are on the wrong side, Trudeau is, of this. And again, countries all over the world, provinces in Canada, governors, Democrat governors in the United States are saying, okay, yeah, we're getting rid of the mandates. History is, well, not history, but current events are not on his side here. So I think it's going to be really interesting, but thank God for those people. Jacob says Canada could be the next Kent State. Yeah, I mean, I got to tell you, Canada does not want to see that happen. So I don't know what they're going to do. You know, they made the GoFundMe, and I think this has been a really black eye and a stain on GoFundMe. They were going to just keep the money. Now they have to give it back. Give, Send, Go, Canada said, okay, we're gonna freeze it. We're not going to allow you to do that. And Give, Send, Go said, you can't do that. We can do it. And I think there are plenty of ways around that. So I don't know what it is they're going to do. And then Leo, this is from Stephen. They can keep Neil Young forever, please. And there you go. Charlene, real quick. Hey, Charlene, I see you got your hand raised.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, rather than, you know, them saying they're going to open fire and arrest and all the truckers have to do is just walk away from their trucks. And then they have to find truckers to move the products, right? I mean,
right.
That's their final option is just to walk away from their trucks. I say, okay, if you can do a better job moving this inventory and products, you go right ahead. I mean, right. They have to wait around to be arrested. They can just walk off from their trucks. I mean, right?
No, that's brilliant, Charlene. I hadn't even thought of that. No, that's absolutely brilliant, right? And I think they don't because I think they're like making the statement, but you're right. If they say, okay, we're going to come in there and we're going to arrest everybody who's there, they'll be like, okay, well then, and they can just leave exactly and say, who's going to drive you? I mean, the same, then you're absolutely right. When they say, oh, we're going to fine you $100,000 and we're not going to renew your truck license, it's like, well, doesn't that seem to be like it would cause a problem too? If somebody's going to drive the truck, that's a great point.
I know. It seems like they have the winning hand. I mean, you know, if they choose to exercise that and so they don't have to be afraid of being arrested. They can just leave their trucks and say, here, take it. Here's the keys. And you haul the stuff. Anyway, that's the point. Thanks, Julie.
That's a great point. All right. Hey, guys, and now we've run out of time. So we'll talk more about the lawsuit and things like that because I think it's important. And just at least be keeping everybody up to speed on it. Remember, you can get all of the shows at chuckandjulie.com or go to bbsradio.com/chuckandjulieshow. Thank you to everybody for listening. Thanks to the great guys at BBS. Thank you to everybody on Zoom. We will see you on Monday. Everybody have a great weekend.